The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord. So when I was a kid, my mother says that, well, I didn't want to get in a lot of trouble. So I would just, if here was the line, I would put one toe over that line just to see what would happen. Because when it's just one toe, you can easily pull it back, right? Now, I didn't want to jump all the way over and say, you know, here I am, come and get me. No, no, no. Just one toe over the line. So I became the king of the loopholes. You know what a loophole is, right? You know, it's that crack in the armor or in the law that you can sort of slide through so you're not really breaking any rules or breaking any laws, but you might be breaking the intent of that law, right? Sort of like this. My mother would say, clean your room. And at the end of the day, she would come and notice that my room was still a wreck. Well, Mama, you didn't say when to clean my room. Teacher, say, raise your hand before you speak. So I would raise my hand and then start talking to the person next to me. No rule broken, just doing what you said. Clean your plate. All right, well, I hate this broccoli, so dish that off in the trash. Clean plate. There you go. See, I didn't break any rules. I found the loophole, a way to sort of slide through without getting in trouble, but still getting what I want. Now, there are people who are great at dealing with loopholes. It becomes a lot more difficult, though, as you get older because of these very intelligent people called lawyers. Now, lawyers are great at finding loopholes, but they're also really good at closing the loopholes. But there have been people along the way that have found ways to get through. Like, I heard all I did was a simple Google search about loophole examples, and tons of them flooded. There was this one kid that was in a slow bike race. The object was to be the last person to cross the finish line. It sounds a little easy, but the truth is, anytime your foot hit the ground, they would deduct 5 seconds. And so you had to keep your balance and still be moving forward, right? Well, he realized that no one said you couldn't keep your foot on the ground and wait for everybody else to pass the finish line. He only put his foot down once. Found the loophole. Of course, the people that were running the race were a little upset that a 12-year-old had shown them up and they disqualified him, but still. And then there was this guy that worked at Papa John's Pizza. And every week, they would, in his business, there would be a contest that if you could get your customer to upsize a pizza, say from a large to an extra large or a medium to a large, that The employee that was able to do that the most would get 2 free movie tickets. Well, he was a poor college student. He could really use 2 free movie tickets. And so every time a customer ordered a large pizza, he would put it in as a medium and then upsize it. Boom, loophole. And so he won week after week after week. And it wasn't until he graduated from college that he came clean and let people know how he was winning all those weeks. Then there was a bar in Minnesota. Now, I've never lived in Minnesota, but I've heard about it, and it's really, really cold. And so when they passed a law that said that you couldn't smoke indoors in public places, that really posed some problems for some bars. There was, however, a rule that sort of an exemption to that law, that if you were smoking as part of a play, if your character was a smoker, well, then you could smoke indoors. And so what they declared was that their bar was actually a continuous live play, and that all of their patrons were just characters in that play that was continuously going on. And so when the police came in to shut it down, you can't shut us down, we're in a play. But now the best I've heard was this guy named David Phillips. And he was sitting at home one day eating a Healthy Choice microwave dinner, and he noticed that they were having a free giveaway. For every 10 barcodes of their products that you sent in, they would give you 1,000 frequent flyer miles. What a great idea. And so he started doing some research, and he realized that the little pudding cups that they had were individually sold for a quarter. And so he went out and bought 3,120 pudding cups. No, that's not true. That's how much money he spent. He bought 12,150 pudding cups. And he ended up with 1.25 million frequent flyer miles. But that's not all. He donated all of those pudding cups to the Salvation Army in exchange for them pulling all of the barcodes off, and he got an $815 tax break on top of it. That is a brilliant loophole, isn't it? Because they never said how many frequent flyer miles you could spend. This was in 1999, and he still has frequent flyer miles. Brilliant. If you can find that loophole and go through it, you didn't break any rules, right? Well, that's kind of exactly what Peter is trying to do in today's gospel lesson. Now, some people may say that he was trying to get clarification. No. If you look at Peter throughout the rest of the gospels, you know he was trying to find a loophole. See, last Sunday we talked about conflict in the church, where Jesus said, if a member of the church, if a brother or sister sins against you, then go to that person. And then if they'll listen, you've gained a brother or sister. If not, bring another. And then, you know, if not, bring it to the whole church. So he goes through this whole thing about what you need to do if a brother or sister sins against you. And so Peter wants a little clarification, i.e., he wants a loophole. So, Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive a person? 7 times? Now, see, realize that the number 7 is the complete time. So, a lot of times? Jesus is a little slicker than getting caught in a loophole, though, right? So he says, no, not 7 times, 77 times. Now, folks, before you start trying to find a loophole in Scripture and getting out your journal to start tallying up how many times a person sins against you so that once you hit 78, you're good to go, no. That is not what Jesus is saying. The number 77 times, or 7 times 70, as it is in some Bibles, means an infinite number of times. So how many times should you forgive? Every time. That's what Jesus is saying. So when someone sins against you, you should forgive them every time. And in order to clarify, he tells a parable. He says, there was this king who was trying to reckon accounts with all of his slaves. And so he calls this one slave before him that owes him 10,000 talents and says, all right, well, you can't repay it, so I'm going to sell you, your wife, your kids into slavery, and everything that you have, I'm going to take, so, you know, until you can repay your debt. So he falls on his knees and begs, please forgive me and I'll pay you back. You know what the king does? He doesn't just say, okay, I'll give you time. He forgives the entire debt. Canceled. Paid in full. It's a pretty generous king, isn't it? Then the slave, who has just been forgiven all of this debt, walks out the door and finds one of his fellow slaves who owes him 100 denarii. And he seizes him by the throat and says, you pay me what you owe me. And it's the same scenario played out. It's just this time the slave is the one who was begging before is the one who's being begged. And the guy says, no, please, just give me some time and I'll pay you what you owe. No, you're going to prison. You'll go to debtor's prison until it's paid off. Well, needless to say, everybody walking around is like, dude, really? Did you really just... Did I think I saw it? So they went and told on him. They told the master, who at once said, you know, I had mercy on you. You didn't have mercy. And so he threw him away to be tortured until the debt could be paid. And Jesus says, so it is with you who fail to forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Now, there is a little bit of explanation that needs to be put in place there. Because when's the last time you were carrying around a talent or a denarii? Anyone? Nobody in the room. Any of you? I didn't think so. So let me explain what that is. Okay. A denarii was a silver denarii was 3.4 grams, okay, of silver. Silver today, like I checked this out this morning, is worth 87 cents a gram. In other words, a denarii is worth $2.96. Okay? In other words, the guy who he shook down owed him $296. A talent is 34,200 grams. In other words, a talent in today's dollars is worth 29,500 grams. 6,000 talents then would be $295,800,000. So he owed the king $2,995,800 and was forgiven the entire debt, and he goes out and shakes down a guy for a little less than $300. That's a bit of a discrepancy, right? I mean, where does he get off doing that? Can you imagine owing someone almost $300 million? Of course you can't, because more than likely, if you're listening to me today, you've never had $300 million. And if you had, we need to talk about your offering. But that's how much he owes. And the king forgives it. Gone. Erased. How must that have felt for all of that debt to be lifted? I mean, for those of you who have debt, can you imagine if someone came to you today and said, you're debt-free. Your house, your cars, your credit cards, your student loans, all of it paid for, gone. But then there was a guy who owed you $10, and you made sure he paid you back $10. That's how crazy this is. But we're not really talking about money right now, are we? We're talking about sins. And so what Jesus is saying here is that you know yourselves, right? You know how many sins you commit. You know what you do. You know what you've done. Every day, every hour, every minute. How many sins? I mean, it's countless, the amount of sinning that we all do. And yet, God forgives us. He sent his own son to give his life for all of those sins. All the horrible, the worst possible thing that you could have done, Jesus died for you. Gone. Erased. And yet, you want to get upset because somebody cut you off in traffic. You want to hold a grudge because someone talked about you behind your back. Really? You've been forgiven $300 million worth. And you're holding a grudge for a few $100. But maybe it's not a few $100, right? I mean, sometimes people do things to us that goes far beyond that, right? That's not $296 worth. I mean, you know, it's one thing to forgive a $300 debt. What if, say, somebody owed you $5,800? That's a little different, isn't it? I mean, most of us, $5,800 is a pretty big chunk of change. For some folks out there, it might be, you know, a few months' salary, maybe half a year. $5,800 is a lot of money. Well, there's another way to look at denarii. A denarii in Jesus' day was considered a day's wage. And today in South Carolina, if you take the minimum wage, multiply it by 8, you get $58. $58 a day. So multiply that by 100, $5,800. That's how much the guy owed him. 100 days wage, $5,800. That's a little more significant, isn't it? And let's be honest, there are some things that people have done to us that's a lot more significant than maybe talk about us behind our back or cut us off in traffic. There are things that people have done to us that have a long-lasting, maybe a lifetime impact on who we are, on the people that we love. And how do we just let that go? Right? Well, folks, if you use that same math, one denarii is 6,000 talent. One talent is 6,000 denarii. Which means that we are owed $5,800, but we owe $3,480,000,000. So it goes up significantly, right? It's compound interest. So even if we have been horribly sinned against, realize that it still doesn't catch up to the amount of sin that we have done against God. We're still way in debt. And there's no way anybody could do anything to us that's much. But maybe you don't want to talk about money. Let's talk about time. Like I said, one day's wage is a denarius. So you 300 work days a year, right? So 1 year, 300 denarii. It would take 20 years then to pay off a talent, and you only have 999,000 left to go. Which means, 9,999 left to go, which means that it would take you 200,000 years to pay off the king. We have a debt that we can never repay. Nothing that we can do can ever repay the gift, the mercy that God shows us. And therefore, we're called to show others that same mercy and love in return. But now, nobody said it was easy. But here's the end result. The end result is this. For the king, for that servant, he's thrown to be tortured until that debt can be repaid. Now, usually when we hear this, we think, oh, well, that means we'll go to hell if we don't forgive others. No, I'm not sure that's what he's talking about here. What I think he's talking about is that failure to forgive is equal to failure to live. Because people who hold on to grudges, hold on to this anger and resentment and hatred that just grows and festers, it impacts their lives. And the bigger the sin, the bigger the impact, right? The prisons are filled with people who fail to forgive. Rehab centers are filled with people with failure to forgive. Divorce courts are filled with people with failure to forgive. When we fail to forgive, we fail to live. It affects our relationships. It can affect our personality. It can affect our emotions. It can affect our health. It can affect every aspect of our body. And if that ain't torture, I don't know what is. And so I share with you today, my friends, it's time to forgive. It's not that all of a sudden you're releasing someone from your anger. No, you are releasing yourself. You're gaining your freedom. So how do you do it? Well, you pray, you say, and you play. The first thing is you pray about it. There is no possible way that you or I have the strength to be able to forgive on our own. We're not strong enough, especially if something's really bad. We're going to need some help. We're going to need some big-time backing for this one. And so we go to God. We ask God for the change of heart. We ask God to help us forgive. Because God knows who we are. God knows how difficult it is for us to get past things. So we pray about it. And then we say it. Neurologists have done studies that when you say something out loud, it actually changes the makeup of your brain. And so when you need to forgive someone, you say it out loud every day. I forgive him. I forgive her. I forgive you. I forgive. I forgive. I forgive. Say it out loud. You got to say it out loud. That's what changes your brain. And thirdly, you play it. It's going to be a while before you get past some things. In the meantime, you pretend. Now, I'm not saying that you should be two-faced or anything like that. But when you play it long enough, eventually it becomes reality. You pray it, you say it, and you play it. And sooner or later, you'll find that you're free. Because failure to forgive equals failure to live. No one has the right to take that away from you. So no matter what someone has done to you, you can't allow them to continue to have that control. And when you forgive them, you release that control. You give it to God. You allow yourself to be free. You allow yourself to live. I want you to, if you're holding on to a grudge today, I want you to imagine what your life would be like if that had never happened. Because when you forgive, that's the life you get back. You don't have to hold on to the grudge. You don't have to let someone else's sin take away your joy. You have been shown mercy. You have been forgiven. Therefore, live and forgive. Amen.